All right, Matthew chapter 10. By the way, I know some of you may ask me how Frank was doing. I cut out of here Sunday and headed to Frank's house, met him and took him and got him a big old fat piece of beef, and we enjoyed that together, and then we sat and visited till bedtime and had a good time. He's doing fine. He's not, obviously, at this point early on. He doesn't have any effects from having this prostate cancer, but that's something that will remains to be seen how they go forward with this. So please pray for him, and thank you for your concern. I know I've had people calling me and asking me, and I appreciate that. Okay, Matthew chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not unto the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you again. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. I will remind you that the parallel passage to this text that's found in Mark tells us that they were out. Not only did he send them out, but he sent them out in pairs, two by two, okay? And this was a mission effort. The idea was to take the gospel to the Jews, the lost sheep of Israel, as Jesus refers to them as. And so it's definitely a missionary effort. We saw last week the verses 9 and 10 where Jesus is telling them to not take a bunch of provisions. We won't take time to reread that. But essentially he's saying, don't worry about taking a bunch of money and all of the food and all the things you need. He's setting them up to just trust in him and make sure that they, when they go forward, they know that he's going to take care of them. They're ministering to people with the gospel, and so he's going to cover their needs. And we talked about that extensively last week. The Bible says, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Any man of God that is doing the work of God will definitely be provided for. Okay, now we're going to break some new ground, and let me reread verse 11 again. It says, in whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. In this verse, Jesus is just simply telling them how to arrange their accommodations, okay? By telling them to stay with someone worthy, what's being implied there is it just he's simply wanting them to, by referring to somebody worthily, he's referring to finding somebody who was godly. Somebody that had a good reputation, a good testimony, and already, not to say that they knew the gospel, because they probably didn't, but that they already loved the Lord, okay? And by doing that, it would be important, it seems kind of trivial at first, but then in reality, it would be of the utmost importance for two reasons. One, the disciples, for their own spiritual health. Obviously, whoever's home they're staying in, it would be best if it were godly people that they could enjoy fellowship with and would be instrumental in helping them just maintain their spiritual health, okay? But also, godly people would also be instrumental in helping them maintain a good testimony, okay? And can kind of help them cultivate their influence. If you're staying with godly people, the godly people are going to know more godly people, and they're going to know the spiritual people that opens doors for the disciples. Remember that the disciples were kind of unknown, mostly unknown, okay? They were not, they didn't have their master's degrees or their doctorate. They weren't rabbis. They weren't Pharisees or Sadducees or scribes. They were just working people. They were just common men. And so they didn't have the credentials that would be needed to go out into a Jewish world that's highly religious and get people to listen to them, okay? And so everything that they could do that would give them influence and allow them to gain favor and gain the ear of the people would be important, okay? By and large, they were nobodies and they needed other people to listen to what they had to say, okay? And so they were going to need to present themselves above reproach in every area. And so it would be important and lend towards their credibility if they stayed with somebody that had a good name, a worthy name, if you will. Verse 12 says, "And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you." Now, this can kind of be confusing here. This is not speaking, well, first of all, when he says go into a house, he's not speaking of the place where they're staying, okay? He already covered that in verse 11, okay? He's talking about when they're out ministering and they come to a home. They come to the homes of the people that they're ministering to, attempting to witness to those people. When they found that place, if the people were saying worthy, if the people were receptive or appreciative, if you will, of the message that you're bringing them and welcoming them, then they would pronounce peace upon them. Okay. Now, at first glance, it would tend to read that and think that Jesus has given them some kind of a power to give peace and withhold peace to people's lives. That's not at all what's being said. When you break down the Greek of the terminology that's being used here, the word peace is shalom. Okay. And most of you have heard that. It's a Jewish term. Shalom means peace or God's peace or peace be with you. It's that sort of message, okay? It was an age-old Jewish greeting, shalom was, okay? And it carried the meaning of having total well-being and wholeness and just wishing that upon somebody. If you said shalom to them, you're wishing wholeness, spiritual wholeness in their life. So if the disciples were, what's being said here is they were well received by the people that of that home or the people they were witnessing to, they were to wish God's blessings upon those people and that household and minister to them in the fullest, okay? Give everything they had to offer to them, okay? I want you to support this. This idea. Look across the page at verse 41. Same chapter. It says, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." So again, the whole idea is those that are receptive and honoring of the gospel, or willing to lend an ear to what the disciples have to say, then they are deserving of the disciples' best effort to minister to them and wish them shalom, peace, okay? On the other hand, he goes to verse 14 and shows us the reverse of that principle. Let's read verse 14. "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." And so we see something completely different, really just based on the receptiveness of the household, of the people. The ideal here is if the household or people or group of people that are being witnessed to are persistent in their rejecting of the words of the apostles, okay? They're just unwilling to listen. Then they are to withdraw from them, okay? But not only withdraw from them, we withdraw their favor and their blessing upon them, okay? In other words, not spend their, the disciples are being instructed to not spend their energy, their effort, and their time on somebody that's just willingly rejecting the message, okay? And we have to understand, in spite of all the effort in the world that you and I can apply to witnessing to people, a person, there are just going to be people who will not be receptive to what we have to say, will not receive the gospel, okay? They won't receive God's offer of salvation. And if they will not receive it, they cannot be saved. We know that, okay? The gospel, what Jesus accomplished on the cross, and of course his subsequent resurrection, was sufficient to save every person on the planet Earth that ever crosses the earth, okay? It was enough. It was sufficient to do so. But that same work is powerless to save one human being that rejects it. You see? It will not save a person that rejects it, okay? And so it's like the illustration that you've heard, probably like a broken record, that I've given you over the years of the gift. God wrapped the gift 2,000 years ago, meant it for you and I, put it under the tree, so to speak. It's up to you and I all these years later to reach out, unwrap that gift, and make it our own, okay? Well, that illustration, it goes to if a person refuses to unwrap that gift and take it and make it their own, it's of no benefit to them. And essentially, that's where you and I are when we're witnessing to people. We can witness till we're blue in the face, and we can be prayed up and powered up and everything else, but until the person that we're witnessing to chooses to accept that gift and make it their own, they're not going to be saved. It's just not going to happen, okay? So disciples are being told to essentially walk away from those who would reject their message. And by telling them to shake the dust off of their feet, Jesus is referring to an old-time practice of the Jews. When the Jews would be traveling about outside of Palestine, Palestine, if you want to call it, outside of the Holy Land, if you will, in the Gentile world, if they traveled, when they returned to God's land, to Palestine, the practice was that they would pull their sandals off and they would shake their sandals of the dust, and they would shake their feet of the dust that came from that Gentile world they just walked in, you see. And by shaking the dust off their feet, in a literal sense, they were shaking it off, but in a figurative sense, they were getting rid of anything pagan from that world outside of their world. You see, anything Gentile, anything, they were dusting off the pagan dust, if you will. It was not, the pagan dust was not worthy enough to go into their land where God reigned, okay? And so it's really a practice that was a demonstration of their contempt for the Gentiles. Really and truly it was. It was just an exercise of a visible exercise of something they felt in their heart. They despised and held in contempt the Gentiles, and they really believed that the Gentiles were beyond salvation. They couldn't be saved. That was the ideal of the Jews. Okay, so that tradition, in spite of the fact that it was born with an unhealthy mindset of despising people, that's not what God wants at all, okay? It still, nonetheless, was a practice and a tradition that developed over time and was done. And so that practice being symbolic of essentially, we're done with those people, right? That's the message. We wash our hands, so to speak, of those people. That's the message. So Jesus, by telling the disciples to to do this practice is simply saying, he's telling his disciples to wash your hands of the people whom you've gone to with the gospel and are hostile towards it or unwilling to listen to your voice. Wash your hands of that house and that people and move on and evangelize elsewhere somebody that's willing to listen. If you will, I'll demonstrate this one more time and then we'll get past it. Go to Acts chapter 13. And what we see here is this same practice, except we see it in reverse. Acts chapter 13. And what we're going to see is Paul and Barnabas use this very same gesture with a group of people in reverse. The group they use it to are actually Jews. Let's go verse 44. It says, "In the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It is necessary that the word should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.'" In other words, again, symbolically, I mean, not symbolically, but technically, I guess you would say, they're saying, "We're washing your hands of you, okay? We're not going to keep ministering to you if you're going to reject the gospel. We're going to go to the Gentiles. Let's keep moving. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast." Now watch. Here's the figurative. Here's the metaphor. "But they shook the dust off their feet against them and came to Iconium." So in this way, Paul and Barnabas have gone to minister to Jews. The Jews wouldn't hear it. They were hostile to the message. They washed their hands of them and turned to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were receptive, okay? And so they put their energy, their time, and their effort into the Gentiles and washed, dust the dirt off their feet. In other words, it's symbolic of, hey, we're done here. We're moving on to a better ministry that's receptive of the gospel, okay? So it's important that we understand this principle. It's a symbol that is indicative of an inward attitude. Attitude of, hey, we've tried our best to reach you with the free gift of salvation. You've rejected it, so now we're moving on to others who might not reject it. Okay, that's kind of the message. By commanding his, and I'll wind it up here, by commanding his disciples to do this, Jesus is not, and you make this clear, okay, he is not in any way teaching them to not have patience, to not be merciful to people. That's not what's being implied here at all. We know that the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of, or come to repentance, if you will, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we are to be long-suffering in our ministries to people, but the principle is this: you don't give up. You pray for people, but there's times that people are rejecting of the gospel, and you just have to move on to a better opportunity to minister. And it's not that you're giving up totally. It's in God's hands, but you're moving on and you're channeling your energy and what God has given you to someone who might receive it. One last point and then we're done. I promise you. Verse 15, he says, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Okay, so God showed an extreme amount of patience with Sodom and Gomorrah, if you remember, in the book of Genesis. If you'll remember, he was willing if they were able to find 10 righteous in the city, he was willing to divert his wrath and not judge them. If you remember that, but they didn't find 10 spiritual people. They didn't find 10 righteous. It was a populace that had utterly rejected all things righteous. And so therefore God washed his hands of it. And we know the story. His patience and his mercy, which is in his nature, it has a limit. The limit was over, and Sodom and Gomorrah faced judgment. Okay, there is a limit to God's forbearance. And Jesus is simply telling his disciples, try to reach them, but if they despise and reject, wipe your hands of them, knock the dust off your feet, and go focus on somebody else. Okay, and that's the principle that's here. Okay, appreciate you guys. We will stand and be dismissed. I hope that was somewhat clear to you. And we'll stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer, okay? Appreciate your faithfulness.